Shabbat Shalom. It's 3 o'clock, so I'm going to keep this somewhat brief today. I'm going to sum it up quite quickly because there's a really interesting message going on, not just in this parsha, but as we know, the weekly parsha that has been read for thousands of years reflects the seasons, the agricultural seasons, the movement of the planets and the heavens. It all moves in sync, and we're moving along with it, and we're given information in order to help us, guide us, make the right decisions, know what's coming, know the good things that are in store, know sometimes why things aren't so good. Everything can be found within the Holy Scripture of God, within the Word of God. We have every single answer. There is sometimes something unique that happens, though, in the heavens, and we're told throughout the Scripture to keep our eyes on them, the blood moons, things like that. Stars doing strange things, the movements of the planets a little bit out of whack. Expect some things to happen. God puts them there for a reason, because they are all mimicking God's movements and the seasons that God has created. He put them all there as a reflection of his mind, of his soul, of his creative brilliance. There are words that we couldn't even use to describe what God must have been thinking or visualizing when he created the universe. Glory, absolutely. Glory is the only thing we can come close to.
And how we're affected by that. Our earth doesn't exist in this world.
Well, absolutely. We're made from the dust. Science says we're all made from the dust, mm-hmm. The stardust. Everything is made of the same thing, and the atoms, we're all connected to one another. We're also connected to the earth, to the skies, to the other stars and the planets. And gravity, which is what creates time, I mean, God doesn't exist in time. There's no past, present, or future. There's only God. We have an experience past, present, and future because we're on a planet that has a gravitational pull, and that's really that gravitational pull is keeping us and our atoms together, mm-hmm. making us look like solid beings that live, if we're very lucky, 80 to 90 years of age, and if we're super lucky, about 120. But something happened in April, which many kind of poo-pooed. This was, of course, the blood moons around Passover, and there's three more to come. And the scripture does state that, you know, at the end of days, the moon will turn like blood and so forth. But unfortunately, there were those in the world who got panicky, and they panicked and thought, this is the apocalypse, it's all coming, when of course it wasn't. These things happen periodically as part of the way that God has set up the universe and the way it plays in that perfect sync. Sometimes these things appear, but we do have to take note of them because they do herald changes, just as a new moon heralds a new month, okay? Or, you know, certain flowers begin to show themselves, heralding a new season. So too, there are things in the skies that we are to keep our eyes on. At the time that the blood moon showed itself in April, Mars, which has always been called by the ancient mystics the planet of war, and for a reason, the scientific reason, Mars started acting a little odd to us. The way Mars has moved since April, look, usually it gets involved, goes retrograde, causes what sort of a ex-gravitational pull around the planet, which astronomers and scientists actually call let's have a look at that. The words used to describe it, backward motion. Very easy. Mars is traveling around the sun, or any planet is traveling around the sun, like the rest of them. There's a gravitational pull. There's extra pulls. If they get closer, things happen. If the moon gets closer, it happens. Every woman that's reached puberty knows that the moon has a direct effect on them, okay, on the cycle and so forth. But in a larger scale, you think about the planets moving around the sun. We're all part of this gravity. Some are pulling at each other. You can feel there's energy between them. There's gravitational energy, there's atomic energy, there's all types of things going on that can change things around here on Earth, and it's just a fact. That's not pseudo-astrology, and it's not telling you your lucky number this week, but it most certainly is a scientific fact that these things, what happens out there in the heavens, affects us here, literally. So Mars has been moving in such a way that has caused attention on the Earth and what astronomers call this backward motion. And it's very interesting that it coincides, and it doesn't do this yearly, but it most certainly coincides with the parshas that we've been studying recently. Last week, for those who missed it, was a section of the scripture where Israel is just about to enter the promised land. and spies are sent into the land to gather fruits and so forth and to give a report of what the land is all about, to spy out the land, and the spies come back and give a terrible report that frightens everybody. There's Anakites, there's Canaanites, there's Hittites, there's tribes too numerous for us. They're fearful, they don't want to go up. All of a sudden they lose heart and lose faith. How are we going to defeat these people? They forgot everything that had happened from the time that God brought them out of Egypt until then. They'd seen miracle after miracle, but this was just too much for them. They're about to go into that promised land. It's literally right there across the river waiting for them. But they all become afraid. They lose faith. They get downhearted. They basically lose faith in God, and they say, how can we go on? We don't want to, you know, we can't do this. We can't battle this. Not keeping in mind that it's God who was fighting on their behalf. It's human nature. It happens. We sometimes really do forget the good when the bad happens. It just happens that way. It's for some reason that struggle we have with the negative force is that sometimes the bad is more powerful and sticks in our mind than the 10 or 20 good things that happened just before it. It's just the way sometimes it works. But God at this point had enough. He'd had enough because he had literally appeared before them as, you know, the pillar of fire by night and the cloud by day. They'd heard his voice speak to them from Mount Sinai. They had seen miracle after miracle. Angels had been in contact. They only had to look at Moses' face to see the Shekinah, the white light, literally shining off him because he'd spoken to God face to face. I mean, he had to take his tallit and wrap himself up like a Bedouin because the people were so afraid to look at the light. So they could see, literally see the divine all around them. So God got a point here. You can't look at me in the face every day and then I'm taking you here to what? To deliver you to be destroyed? Of course not. But this is what you think. I've had enough. You're not entering into the land. God realizes that all the tests and trials and grace and mercy that he's shown them all this time, and keep in mind, he did every story we read in the Parsha, Israel and the nations that came up with him just keep slipping and keep tripping and keep falling, and they're forgiven and forgiven and forgiven. And this time, although they're forgiven, he says, you're not entering the land. None of this generation is going to go up. You could have gone up and taken it today. You're all going to basically, those of you in this generation who did not believe, who believed this report and wouldn't go up and show faith, you're all going to die here in the desert. But your children, I will take them by the hand and I will take them into the Holy Land. So for 40 years, this is where the story comes to a dead end for the next 40 years. Because that was the final straw. They were just about to enter the land. It was all about to happen. Boom. They wrecked it for themselves. They were right there at the finishing line. God said, no, you will not enter. So that's why Israel is stuck in the desert for 40 years. I've heard jokes about it, that we simply, my ancestors went around and around the same mountain for 40 years because they got lost. You know, the truth is they got to the borders of the promised land and were not allowed to enter because they chose to fall back. God hates it when people fall back. We hate it when we fail, when we think, yo, what if I just had have done it? I don't know how many people, I know I look back in retrospect all the time. What if I just had have done it? All the things I could have taken advantage of and really just applied it, but I chose not to, or was stubborn or whatever, or afraid or whatever it was. And you realize you missed the opportunity. But look, more opportunities come. Mm-hmm. And this is the beauty of the life that we're given. We do get another chance. Yeah, amen. We absolutely do get another chance, and even more so at the moment, because look, in this Parsha, as a result of what's happened and the decree of God to say no one's going to enter the Holy Land, a Levite by the name of Korah or Korach rises up in rebellion, because the people of Israel are now pretty upset at Moses and Aaron. They think it's their fault. Keep in mind that Moses and Aaron are continuously falling on their face before God and saying, please don't harm these people. Remember, just, you know, overlook it. Please show grace and overlook it. They're constantly doing this. But the people aren't seeing this. They're saying, well, it's our leadership. And that happens. It happens in political parties. It happens anywhere. When things aren't going too well for the people, you look to the leadership and think, look, vote them out and put new blood in there that will lead us in a better way. And this is what Korah did and his disciples. And he was a Levite. He was from the same bloodline. He was actually from an older house in Levite, an older family line in Levite, which kind of outweighed Moses and Aaron's ranks tribally. But it doesn't matter. God had appointed Moses and Aaron. Simple as that. That was how it was. And it's not that Aaron got away with it. He was constantly getting, he lost two of his own sons because of that appointment, because of their own rebellion. God didn't spare them. God anoints and makes a word, and we're told that in the letter to the Romans, God does not abandon the promise or the covenant that he makes with people ever. He does not abandon it. He lets whatever karma is happening work itself out, all right, the cause and effect, but he doesn't abandon it. He most certainly never, ever abandons it. Many from the house of King David had sinned terribly throughout Israel's history, but God never broke his promise to David to raise up a descendant of David to be eternal ruler. We have a Messiah because God honors his word when humans don't. Thank God for that. So what has this got to do with planets, with Mars going retrograde and causing this tension around the planet? Last night we had dinner with friends, and one of them is a very deeply spiritual person. Very deeply spiritual. I'm from Indigenous background too, and has a real earthy way about them. Understands scripture and understands many things, and is interested in Jewish mysticism and Kabbalah, and explained what's happened with Mars in such a wonderful way. And in fact, it couldn't have been more poignant and more perfect. And this is what I want to share today. Basically, when scientists have said that Mars is acting in a backward motion and causing this tension on the Earth, it's like a big rubber band is being stretched and stretched and stretched. And we're on that rubber band. Now, it's holding people back. You can choose to go back and fall back, or you can break through it. Because in a couple of days, it's going to be gone. Mars is going to be going back to do whatever, you know, on its normal journey through the heavens. And that tension is going to be gone. It's going to be gone anyway. But I find that so interesting in this season. Israel was right there at the borders of the promised land. And instead of taking that step forward and shooting through, they fell back. Only for all the problems to disappear. Because like we heard in the Haftarah, the people of the land were frightened and terrified of the Israelites coming up. The Israelite people saw these giant people and all these other tribes and got so scared and thought, how can we ever do it? And they fell back. But the truth of the matter was, on that land, all those people that they were afraid of were terrified of them. They'd heard about God. They'd heard about the God of Israel. They'd heard about the Ark of the Covenant, and people died when they came near it. They heard about all this stuff, and they knew their time had come to an end. And what we also hear is that God had put earthquakes in the land of Israel, and all the entire Canaanite tribes are being dispersed naturally. Okay? They didn't know. They didn't look at the other side and see it through the promise of God or even through the reality that was there. They saw it from their own perspective. And sometimes that can be very dangerous. It's also hard to be neutral when you're in the middle of it all too. Let's be fair. But right now, there is a tension going on. It's been going on since April. Stretching and stretching and stretching and stretching around our planet. You want to see the way the heavens are playing out on Earth? Look into the Middle East. Watch the news. You'll see them all playing it out perfectly, terribly, tragically. But it's happening. And there's a massive tension now in the Holy Land. Everyone has probably heard about the three kidnapped teenagers. Yeah. And it's all heating up. There's arrests and hundreds of arrests, and it's all ready to go. That tension is there. And what's going to break through or fall back, we'll find out. But in our own personal lives, we've reached a part where we have a choice. We're not prevented from entering the promised land. Whatever that is to each and every one of us, we all have a destiny to fulfill and a place to go forward into. Some of it's shared. In fact, it's all shared in the spiritual realm, but there are individual promises that God has made to every single one of you and me. There are places, destinies we have to fulfill. God has put us here on this planet to do that. Destiny is not only coming to faith and being baptized. Destiny is fulfilling the walk and the path that you're meant to. You're meant to go through those trials. You're meant to go through the wilderness. We're meant to enter the promised land, and not only just enter it, conquer it, take it, set up, then live there, become part of that glory. Just like all the heavens are glorifying God, we all as individuals are to shine that light. Lord Yeshua said that. Let your light shine before others. They will see your good deed and they will praise your Father in heaven. This is, all of us have that light to shine. And it may all be, it's individual. We're all doing it for the same cause, definitely, but we all have an individual calling and an individual light to give. And that is part of it. We have to break through whatever it is, whatever you're going through at the moment, what you've been through the last few months. It's all here in this book. It's all here. It's happening in the heavens. There's actually a literal gravitational, physical tension going on. It played itself out in the Torah in the worst way possible. But guess what? Although we read this every week, we have something that they didn't have. We have the story already in front of us. We have a chapter and a parsha of our very own walk with God that's being written and can be written every single week. That's so fantastic and it's so exciting. I can't wipe the smile off my face. Despite the trials and all the hell, you know what? I don't care. Break through that band. Break through that huge band, that tension that's going on. Enter the promised land and set up there.
Your tabernacle there.
Oh, absolutely. Wherever it is that God is sending you to fulfill your destiny, the reason you are born on this earth, it is literally now the time. It is literally now the time to push forward and change things. And I've seen some interesting changes in myself, in my home, in people around me this week. Things are literally changing and people are taking different steps to change them. And that is fantastic. Keep doing it. Whatever you're doing, keep doing it. If you're feeling pulled back and down, break out of it. I find it interesting that the words used by this woman last night about this band being broken. Those that challenged Moses and Aaron this week, Korah and his band, were broken. They were broken when Moses humbled himself before God. Said, you know what? You guys make your decision over there. We're going to do it here the way God said to do it. We're going to rely on him. Just because the religion is now being practiced among human beings doesn't mean human beings have ultimate say. Mm. The divine has ultimate say, and if the divine's not in the religion, then it's just a man-made club.
Mm.
And that's what was going on. They'd left the faith. By not entering the Holy Land and falling back, they stood on the other side of the river, turned their back on God, and just said, we'll have a religion over here by ourselves. That's what they did. And that's what human beings do. God, goodness me, the act of papal supremacy. Google that. The act of papal supremacy was brought out by the Roman Catholic Church to establish just that. You know, whatever you loose in heaven will be loosed on earth, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. You know, this is what Yeshua said. The Roman Catholic Church leadership took that and said, God doesn't have a say now. He's told us we can do that. And they bound. They bound Christmas. They bound Easter. They bound the torture of civilians. They bound forced conversions. They bound empire. Okay? They bound priesthood to never be married. They bound so many things. And they bound people. And they burned people. And this has come as a result of human beings rejecting the divine order and rejecting the divine.
Mm-hmm.
And rabbinic Judaism is all about it. We've talked about that many times. You open up the Talmud, the whole thing is about those trying to prove God wrong. To say we have the scripture doesn't quite work for us. We're doing it among ourselves, and we're going to write up extra laws and rules to sort of get around these things and deal with this and that, and to make it more pleasant for ourselves. Yeshua went for the throat, theologically and spiritually, when it came to this type of behavior. Korah did this, and look, in the Haftarah, to back this up, a descendant of Korah, Samuel. Prophet. Samuel the prophet, just like Moses, and humble and spiritual and a judge for right reasons, he was the one that the Israelites first came to when they made the decision, we want a king of our own. Samuel, you are rejecting God by doing this. You want to be like all the nations around you? And he got upset, and God said to Samuel, don't be upset. It's not you that they've rejected, remember, it is me. Israel is to be a nation with God, the divine, in its midst, ruling the entire world from amongst the people. They wanted a king to take his place. They wanted a man to take his place. They wanted human control over human affairs. And that's all well and good, but it doesn't. If you're believing in a secular atheistic state, but it doesn't make sense when you're observing or attempting to observe a religion given by the divine. You can't take the religion and reject the divine. It's like Yeshua said, loving the fruit but hating the tree, or hating the tree and loving the fruit. Why can't you take both? And that's what we're here to do, and we stumble and get into a mess of messes because we divide the two. You can't divide the two. If you're of the faith, you have to be spiritual. You have to be. You have to seek spirit and seek spirituality. It's the only thing we have. You can't just belong to a religion, keep some customs and expect, you know, expect that miracles are going to happen. But when you hold on to the divine and take the leap of faith, and that's what it's all about, and that's what the travel is. As I said, right now, astronomically, something is happening, a tension that is actually worked out to help us cross that river and go into that promised land. And it's exciting. It's exciting for every single individual because it's playing itself out. We're told all about it in the scripture. And the best part about it is that although we know what happens for the next 40 years, and we're going to be talking about it over the next few months until the Torah is actually completed, the readings of the Torah are completed, we can write a new parsha for our own lives with God. A new set of scripture. And each one of us as individuals has that new set of scripture for their season that they're going through. We don't have to make the mistakes that those in the book made. And sometimes the seasons affect us and we end up just doing it anyway. Yeah, that happens. But we're given something very special that they didn't have. We're given everlasting life and a new hope every day. Every time that sun comes up, we have a new chance and a new opportunity. But also be warned at this time, in the next few days, this tension comes to an end. The decisions that you are personally making, and I can't say this strongly enough, the decisions that you're personally making right now are going to affect the years to come. That's how powerful this moment in time is. The setbacks are about the setbacks. You have to just keep walking forward. Where else is there to go? Can't stand still. doesn't go anywhere, and it might seem safe, but it's not. The wind comes up and takes you, so does the water if you're standing still. Anything can happen like that. Keep moving forward.
In this case, the ground opened up.
Oh, the ground opened up and it broke the band of Korah, just as we have to break through the band that's literally hanging around the planet at the moment. It's not hard. It's not hard, especially when you're filled with the hope given to us through the Lord Yeshua the Messiah, that everlasting life. We don't have to be worried. We don't have to be concerned. We can trust and move forward. Keep that trust and move forward. Break through that band. It's going to be gone in a few days anyway. It's only an illusion. The tension that is on our planet and that is in our lives, what was happening to the Israelites, was only an illusion. They didn't know that there was danger on the other side. They assumed it. They feared it. The unknown. No, strike into the unknown. Because nothing's really unknown when you're walking with the Spirit of God. On that note, be encouraged. Be very, very encouraged by the new things that are about to happen. Shabbat shalom.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.